Welcome to One Bite is Everything, the podcast where you can have a big impact on your health, your community, and the planet through tiny informed choices. I'm your host, Dana DePrima, and today I thought we would try something a little different. Let's do a quick and dirty dive into a classic American tradition, the 4th of July barbecue. We'll explore a typical menu and discuss some key farming issues behind the ingredients on your plate. From beef burgers to beer, we'll uncover where your food comes from and the challenges farmers face in bringing these delicious items to your table. So let's get grilling. Let's start with the star of the barbecue, the beef burger. Did you know that the United States imports about 3 billion pounds of beef annually, primarily from Canada, Mexico, and Australia? This makes up about 10 to 12% of our total beef supply. Conversely, we also export around 3 billion pounds of beef each year, with key markets being Japan, South Korea, Mexico, and Canada. According to the USDA, the volatility in beef prices is due to factors like feed costs, weather conditions, and global trade policies. Recently, beef prices have been high, partly due to a severe drought a few years ago that reduced herd sizes, leading to lower supply and higher prices. The types of beef available vary widely, from conventionally raised to grass-fed and finished. Conventionally raised beef typically comes from cattle fed a grain-based diet, while grass-fed and finished beef comes from cattle that eat grass for their entire lives, resulting in different flavor profiles and nutritional content. Moving on to hot dogs, a staple of any 4th of July barbecue. The U.S. pork industry is concentrated in states like Iowa, North Carolina, and Minnesota, with over 70% of pigs raised in confinement systems. According to the National Pork Board, approximately 90% of pigs are raised with growth hormones and antibiotics to promote growth and prevent disease. In contrast, smaller producers often raise pigs on pasture without the use of growth hormones and antibiotics, which can lead to differences in taste and texture. All right, well, let's add on some side dishes. Corn on the cob is a summer favorite. The U.S. is the largest producer of corn, with a significant portion being GMO corn engineered for pest resistance and increased yield. According to the USDA, over 90% of the corn grown in the United States is genetically modified. Additionally, corn subsidies play a crucial role in supporting farmers, making it a more economically viable crop despite challenges of climate change and soil degradation. Another classic side dish is potato salad. Potatoes are grown in almost every state, with Idaho, Washington, and Wisconsin being our top producers. Many potatoes, including popular varieties like russet, Yukon Gold, and red potatoes, are genetically modified to resist pests and diseases such as late blight. While GMO can help increase yield and reduce the need for pesticides, they also raise questions about biodiversity and long-term sustainability. Let's not forget about the drinks. Beer is a popular choice for many, and the U.S. is one of the largest beer consumers in the world. The beer industry relies heavily on barley, hops, and water. The majority of barley used in U.S. beer is grown domestically, but hops production is concentrated in the Pacific Northwest, especially Washington State. Climate change poses a threat to these crops, with drought and changing weather patterns affecting production. For a refreshing, non-alcoholic option, we have lemonade. Lemons are primarily grown in California and Arizona. These citrus farmers face challenges such as water scarcity, citrus greening disease, and the impact of tariffs on imported fruits. Citrus greening disease, caused by a bacterium spread by insects, can severely impact lemon yields and tree health. The U.S. imports lemons, particularly during off-seasons, from countries like Mexico and Chile, and tariffs can affect the cost and availability of these imports. As we enjoy our 4th of July barbecues, it's important to remember the farmers behind these foods. Their hard work and dedication make it possible for us to celebrate with such delicious meals. Whether they are conventional farmers or smaller organic and regenerative farmers, it takes all of them to feed our nation, fuel our independence, and support other countries as well. By understanding the challenges they face, we can make more informed choices and support sustainable farming practices that benefit our health, our communities, and our planet. Understanding where your food comes from is crucial for making informed decisions that align with your values and priorities. While some of the realities of food production may surprise or even shock you, gaining this knowledge empowers you to be a more conscious and responsible consumer. Whether you value animal welfare, environmental sustainability, or nutritional quality, knowing the differences between conventional, organic, grass-fed, pasture-raised, GMO, and regenerative farming practices allows you to make decisions that reflect what is important to you. By exploring these diverse production methods, you can better appreciate the efforts of farmers and the impact of your food choices on your health, the community, and the planet. Food for thought. What values do you hold dear when it comes to your food? Thank you for joining me on this episode of One Bite is Everything. I hope you have a wonderful 4th of July filled with good food and gratitude for the farmers who make it all possible. Stay tuned for future episodes where we speak with some incredible experts from across the country to unpack some of the complicated issues surrounding our food and how it impacts our health, our communities, the environment, and our economy. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends. For more stories and information about supporting our farmers, visit our website at www.forfarmersmovement.com. Until next time, remember, one bite is everything.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hey, Cam, mind sending me over our new Wi-Fi password?
Oh, sorry, Mitch, you can't be trusted.
What?
It's your phone. It's different than mine.
Cam! And I thought I was a judgy one.
No, it's just messages between different devices aren't encrypted.
Okay. Since when do you know about encryption?
I know what encryption is, and it's because I'm the last line of defense against any would-be Wi-Fi thieves.
Cam, come on.
Okay, fine. I'll send it somewhere more private.
Thank you.
Safely send messages between different devices. On WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.